Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Don't want to be an American. Yes! Don't want a nation.
Oh, it is.
It is.
The Alex Donner Show here on 560 WQAM. Streaming on the radio.com app. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone line, 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Get at us via the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22, but please don't text or drive. With you till 10 o'clock this evening. I want to get in a couple minutes here into some of the audio from that marathon hearing yesterday. I think overall, though, it's not a bad thing that you had several hours of debate and a few details emerging, because I you know, even like, and you guys know me, if you've been listening this week, you know that I am pro get a stadium by any means necessary, right? Because I'm speaking as a soccer fan, I'm speaking as a fan of Miami sports. And when I saw the images and the videos and the, what do they call it? The mock-up, artist rendering of what that Miami Freedom Park is planning on looking like, I thought, man, that looks tremendous. I cannot wait to go to games there. I want David Beckham's Miami soccer team to get the rightful home that they deserve, and I want it to succeed in this community. So I have been, just on the surface, very much pro, you know, being a soccer fan and not being a golfer. I would like to get it done on that site. But with that said, I am not going to pretend that there are not valid concerns and valid questions that come up when you're talking about a private entity purchasing city land, tearing down a popular golf course, right, that does have that charitable first tee organization to teach children's golf, to teach children golf at no charge, right? Like, you have to make sure that the first tee program has another place to operate if you're going to tear down the Melrose golf course. Many other questions there that come into play, right? So even though I am admitting that me, like everybody, is ignorant on a lot of the details of this proposal, because not a lot of details have been given, on the surface, I am pro soccer to the Melrose site, right? That suits me, and I'm not a resident of that area, that specific area. I am a Dade County resident. It's worth noting that. But even though I am pro, get me a stadium by any means necessary, I also want to make sure this is being done the right way, right? So I thought that that what happened in that commission hearing, which I think went several hours longer than anybody thought it would have or should have, I think a lot of questions that needed to be asked were asked last night. And I think the idea of not even having the vote last night like they intended on doing and pushing that off until this coming Wednesday, probably the right thing to do, right? Probably the right thing to do when you would really like Jorge Mas and David Beckham to outline more of the details of that plan and how it is going to benefit the community. If they really want to be stewards of this community, I do think that they owe that to the residents and the taxpayers, right? I want to see that stadium get done on that site, but I do want to make sure it's not being done at the expense of the residents of that area. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Before we jump back into that, I want to play some of the audio here in a moment. I thought that we were given some bad news earlier today on an NBA front. Bad news to me, bad news to Hawk, bad news to our buddy Tito, who I know is pro. I don't think I've asked Manny. Manny Chang, are you in favor of Carmelo to the Miami Heat, or are you one of the Heat fans who says, no, keep that cancer off my team?
I want Melo.
You want? Okay. So honestly,
I was on your train last week when it first came out.
Great. Okay. I couldn't remember that. I apologize for forgetting your stance on the Melo news. But
it's okay. I'm not that important.
Well, I don't know about that. But I will say, though, that a lot of the Heat fans that I talk to and the Heat fans that I interact with on this show and on social media, it seems like the vast majority of you say, no, keep that clown off my team. I don't want him. No Melo. My point has always been, if you don't have any young potential all-stars on this roster anyway, because, yeah, I like Josh Richardson. I like Bam Adebayo. I like Deion Waiters. I don't think any of those guys have all-star ceilings, all-star potential. You have one all-star on this team, and it's Goran Dragic, who gets into the all-star game because two other guys in front of him got hurt. Right? So you're not talking about disrupting the development of future all-star players. You've got a team full of average or above average, decent to good role players. I don't believe you're disrupting anything by bringing in an exciting Carmelo Anthony, a guy who's going to create more buzz, more interest. I would have fun watching Carmelo and Dwayne Wade play together in Miami. Most of you are deadly opposed to that. So maybe this was great news for you guys, terrible news for me today. Shams Charania of The Vertical, Shams Charania, the new Woj from Yahoo. The Houston Rockets have emerged as strong front runners to acquire Carmelo Anthony once he is free from Oklahoma City, league sources tell Yahoo. Anthony has also considered Miami. But according to Shams, Carmelo is favoring Houston. And in the next segment, I will tell you why this is surprising to me. One detail I don't think is being talked about enough. But before we get into that, going back to yesterday's hearing, Manny, because I know that I was on the air during most of the hearing. Many of you out there were not necessarily following the blow-by-blow coverage of it. You didn't watch too many of the clips on TV. You weren't at the meeting in person. Let me play you first. So this is audio. And I thought this was really cool. For about 3 hours and 45 minutes, they opened the floor to concerned citizens, right? They opened the floor to residents of that area. At least I hope they were mostly actually residents of that area and not trolls who just came in to try and get their voices heard. But they opened it up to people who are pro soccer stadium or people who are pro Mel Reese Golf Club and anti soccer stadium. And here is some audio of a woman who, I don't know if I've even heard this yet, but a woman opposed to the stadium just going off.
They're going to win. It is sexy. Just like Beckham is sexy. Soccer stadium in Miami. Let's do it. I am sorry. It cannot go to a vote.
Thank you, ma'am.
They're giving all of you a snow job. This is a little tiny stadium with a lot of big buildings. Come on, people.
Thank you, ma'am. Basically, bend over,
pull down your pants. No, please.
Your time is up. Thank you.
Wow. Can we even air that? That was intense. Wow. Okay, yeah, they are building other, and let's hear Jorge Mas talk about that, by the way, right? Because it is worth noting that what they're talking about doing with that land, about 120 acres of it, you're right, it's not just the 25,000-seat soccer stadium. It's also an office park, a technology hub, a public park, 23 acres of youth soccer fields, a hotel, restaurants, shops, right? So there's a lot of other stuff that comes into this proposal other than just a soccer stadium. So yeah, you look at this on the surface, I think it's very fair to say that Jorge Mas, who is not an idiot, I mean, you know, the son, his father established the multi-billion dollar Mas Tech company. These are businessmen you're talking about here. These businessmen, in addition to just building a privately funded stadium, also want to build hotel, shopping center, restaurants, office park, other ways to actually make money, to profit from this. Does that necessarily mean it's a bad deal if they're finding other ways to profit from it? Here's Jorge Mas talking about that. He acknowledges that, yeah, stadiums by themselves do not drive revenue.
For the record, and unlike the majority of team owners around all of the sports in the United States, I do not believe that stadiums on their own are economic engines. They are not.
So that's why you have to build some other stuff there to cover your ass. Here is Mas describing saving MLS Miami.
I was reached out by the Major League Soccer Commissioner Don Garber late last summer. While I was in the midst of that time in the pursuit of another sports franchise. He asked me,
the Marlins,
are you familiar with the efforts of David Beckham and his group at that time to bring Major League Soccer to Miami? I said, Commissioner, only what I've read. And he said, would you have any interest in getting involved? Because it is in my opinion that he needs a local partner, that needs someone who knows the city of Miami. Frankly, I waited a few weeks until I received another phone call from him. When he called me to tell me that the Major League Soccer franchise was leaving Miami, that they would no longer consider Miami as a viable choice because it was difficult to get an ownership group. They weren't exactly there with the potential of a stadium. There was no local partners. And in fact, he told me we have 15 cities waiting in line who want an expansion franchise in Major League Soccer. My brother and I flew up to New York City. We had a dinner with David's partner and with another one of our partners. We told him that if this was going to be a team located in our city, it had to be Miami's team.
Here's Jorge Mas on how confident he is that they will get this accomplished. It didn't happen last night, the vote, but they can get it accomplished next week.
When you're bringing $1 billion, when you're bringing soccer, when you're bringing technology investment and 3,000 jobs, we all need to embrace that. The commissioners, the residents, I as living here and a businessman, because these opportunities don't come up often. And I think that within the commissioners that exist, they just want to do it the right way. I am going to reiterate, we are going to continue doing things in fair market value that is a good deal for the city, because that's what's important. I have always said from the beginning, no taxpayer monies. The only unknown, in my opinion, is a remediation. We'll figure that out once we get a measurement on the lakes. But I'm very, very confident that we'll be able to get this accomplished by next week.
And here is Jorge Mas saying he's not frustrated even after no vote taking place last night.
Zero frustration, no frustration. This has been a very long day, a lot of information exchange. It's been a process that's been condensed in a week. We're obviously on a timeline to be able to get a stadium built. I think on Wednesday I'm very confident that we'll be able to incorporate what the commissioners want, listen to them, and I think we'll be able to get the right ballot language on, frankly, I believe next Wednesday.
Which I think is important to get that language in there so they know exactly what they're voting on. And finally, here is the audio of the verdict of the Miami City Commission announcing they're pushing back the vote.
Is there a motion to have a special commission meeting on July 18th, commenced at 10 a.m., to address items RE9 and RE10? Is there a motion?
I thought it's been moved.
Who moved it? Gordon? Seconded by the vice chairman. Any further discussion about that motion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
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 All against, that motion carries.
Here's a little more detail on the sticking point and why this was pushed back. This vote was pushed back to next Wednesday. And they're going to have a special commission hearing next Wednesday. It's going to be at 10 a.m. And, you know, different from the meeting last night, which was really yesterday afternoon and it pushed into last night, it's not going to be open to public comment the way that it was yesterday, where for nearly 4 hours, like the audio of that crazy woman that you heard, for nearly 4 hours, they opened it up to citizens of the area to speak. This time it's going to be just a commission matter. So this from the Miami Herald. Just after the sunset Thursday, Commissioner Ken Russell held the power as he began his remarks. Russell, who was perceived as the swing vote on the matter, criticized the Beckham Group, which had not conducted any outreach in the neighborhood immediately east of Melrose. Then he moved through individual provisions of the deal, seeking verbal assurances from the Beckham Group on issues from the replacement of lost park space to the question of who would pay for cleaning up contaminated soil, which those things, like, I think to those of us who have nothing to do with these community planning, it may sound a little petty, but I think those are important. Those are important factors. You need to know who's responsible for those things and who's paying for those things. Other sticking points for Russell included assurances that workers on the project would be paid a living wage and revenue sharing with the Beckham Group. That's another thing you'd like to know, because, you know, one of the promises made by Mas and Beckham is they're going to create 11,000 jobs. I would imagine a lot of those include the temporary construction jobs of working on this project. But are those, you know, whatever portion of those 11,000 jobs are construction workers, what kind of wages will they get paid? Excuse me. I'm dying over here. What kind of wages will they get paid to do this? He also noted that commissioners had offered amendments to the proposed ballot language that needed to be rectified. We can continue to negotiate, he said, but I'm not ready tonight. So that's why they pushed back the commission vote, five of them, so this can either probably end up maybe passing 3-2 or getting shot down 3-2. I think it's going to be close. Later this hour, 6:40 p.m., we'll be joined by Mike Cuneo from CBS4, CBS Miami, who has been covering this story from the get-go. He'll give us an update on where things stand. But I do want to get a little bit deeper into where the Heat go from here. Wayne Ellington in, Carmelo Anthony likely on his way to Houston, according to Shams Charania. And man, again, we're getting shredded on the text line by people who do not want Carmelo Anthony anywhere close to this Miami Heat team. The Alex Donner Show continues next here on QAM. So Shams Charania from Yahoo, from The Vertical, says that Carmelo Anthony is now favoring the Houston Rockets over the Miami Heat. Houston Rockets have emerged as strong frontrunners to acquire Carmelo Anthony once he is free from OKC, league sources tell Yahoo. I saw that news today, and I admit I was a little bit bummed out. Just something about the star power of bringing Melo to what is overall a boring Miami Heat team. You think I'm lying about that? I think there's a reason why the Heat, these last couple of seasons, including this upcoming year, continue to get the minimum amount of possible nationally televised games. It doesn't mean, as Heat fans, we can't enjoy the minutiae of a team without, I mean, aside from Dwayne Wade, who's a legacy, of course, but outside of D-Wade, a team without superstars. It doesn't mean locally we can't embrace this team. But you cannot deny the Miami Heat lack sizzle. And furthermore, I do not believe the Heat have a fragile, contending nucleus of great young players who should not be disrupted by Carmelo Anthony. I think you've got a team full of role players that do not have all-star potential. I like Josh Richardson. I don't think he's ever going to be an all-star. I like Bam Adebayo. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think he's ever going to be an all-star. Kelly Olynyk, nice player, not a superstar. Deion Waiters, I guess the jury is out. We'll see what happens with him this year. James Johnson, okay, nice reclamation story. Not going to be an all-star anytime soon. Carmelo is taking away minutes potentially from these guys. That's not a tragedy to me. It's not like he's taking minutes away from dynamic young players from the Boston Celtics. You understand why a team like that is not interested in Melo. So I took what Shams reported today to be bad news in my mind. I would like to see Carmelo on a team that isn't going anywhere, even in the Eastern Conference. I don't see what Carmelo can hurt being here for a season.
Well, Elba, we know it's not about the money, right?
It shouldn't be, because he's getting all that money from OKC.
Exactly. And what's the one thing he doesn't have in the NBA?
Championship.
There you go. To me, it's very, very simple. It's, do you want to be a part of a very great historic organization like the Miami Heat, knowing that you'll get all the love? Because listen, as quickly as these Heat fans are bashing you, if he ever signs with us, whoever is wearing that jersey, that bashing stops right away, automatically.
For the most part, you know, yeah.
If you go to Houston, get a very good opportunity of winning a ring.
Well, and also, very few teams, and Houston is not one of them, have the rigorous conditioning standards of the Miami Heat, right?
There you go.
To me, I think that could be a bigger factor than the championship thing, right?
Maybe he doesn't want to work hard.
Yeah, you think about Carmelo Anthony. Has he ever had that reputation of a hard worker, right? He's heard stories about the first day you arrive at the Heat facility after signing a deal or getting traded there, Pat Riley gives you, not personally, but Pat Riley calls upon you to take the body fat test, right? And then whatever your body fat test comes out as, and I doubt Carmelo has a stellar score in the body fat test, they prescribe a workout regimen for you. That's the kind of thing that certain players embrace about the Heat organization. Other players dread that about the Heat organization. But the texters have been chiming in on Melo. Watching trash Melo, he writes, is exciting. Absolutely nothing exciting whatsoever about watching Melo. And then he writes in some language I don't think I can read on the radio. Another texter is, somebody who was a Miami Heat fan before the team was even named, I applaud my fellow Heat fans for not wanting Melo here. The only good thing about Carmelo Anthony being on the Miami Heat would be, as in, I would have 3 more hours of free time 80 nights this year. I just don't understand how people like you and Hawkman would want this creature in the Heat uniform. The formula for the Miami Heat is to develop this young team and over the next year or two attempt to add our whales. Well, the thing is, I don't believe anybody, and I do understand, I've been reading reports today that Pat Riley, there are a few players he's offered up, has offered up in trades, right, which include, not surprisingly, Hassan Whiteside, bad contract. Tyler Johnson, terrible contract. Deion Waiters, he's offered up in trades. Apparently, he has not offered Josh Richardson or Justice Winslow. So you hear that and you say, okay, Pat Riley clearly looks at these players as building blocks for a championship team. Maybe, or maybe Pat Riley is just holding out until the bitter end before he offers those guys up in trades. I think everybody on that Heat roster right now is expendable. I don't look at these young players as being important pieces on a future championship team. It doesn't mean you don't have some nice young players. I just don't believe you have great young players. But with all that said, I am happy Wayne Ellington is back. And, you know, I thought you got a nice deal, a bargain, like a texter writes in, he's a bargain to get that deal for 1 year. 1 year is important because you're going to try to free up some cap space next year to be a player in free agency. And the $6.23 million I thought was a nice discount, a nice hometown discount you got for Wayne Ellington. But I'll tell you something I cannot get past. I know that what Manny said is valid. What could be an attractive factor for the Houston Rockets to Carmelo Anthony? A better path to a championship. And that happens even despite being in the West, right? Being in the West and having to get through Golden State. Well, they pushed Golden State to a seventh game, a close seventh game last year. I know that the odds makers in Vegas, I believe that this is unjustified, but the odds makers in Vegas actually give the Los Angeles Lakers better championship odds than the Houston Rockets, which I think is ridiculous. Houston, to me, is the second favorite in the West behind only Golden State, and thus the second favorite to win the championship, because ain't nobody in the Eastern Conference better than that team. So the point is valid that if you're Carmelo, you're 34 years old, you want to join a team that gives you the highest likelihood of accomplishing something you've never accomplished before, and that's an NBA title. Yeah, on paper, the Houston Rockets give you a better shot at that than the very mediocre Miami Heat do. I get that. Something I can't get past, though, is doesn't Carmelo Anthony hate Mike D'Antoni and vice versa? Do they really want a reunion there? I was going through some material today. This is from the Houston Chronicle, right? Of course, that's Mike D'Antoni is the head coach in Houston. Mike D'Antoni coached Carmelo up until, what was it, 2012 or 2013, 2012, and then it was a very, very messy situation that led to D'Antoni quitting. This from the Houston Chronicle. Rumblings of a potential reunion between OKC Thunder forward Carmelo Anthony and coach Mike D'Antoni could come true if the Houston Rockets agree to a deal. Yet, their turbulent past is more than just a sour note in his career, as Anthony had given the New York Knicks an ultimatum back in 2012. It was either him or D'Antoni, noting that he'd want to be traded if the front office chose to bring D'Antoni back for the next season. So, and maybe time heals all wounds, right? Maybe after 6 years have gone by, Carmelo Anthony no longer hates Mike D'Antoni like poison, right? You can remember Kobe Bryant had his issues with Phil Jackson in L.A. Remember when Phil Jackson left and Rudy Tomjanovich came in for a year? Phil ended up coming back, so Phil and Kobe were able to rectify their bad relationship. Maybe that can happen with Carmelo and Mike D'Antoni, but still, 6 years ago, Carmelo Anthony, then a Knick, Mike D'Antoni, then the Knicks head coach. Carmelo disliked D'Antoni so much, he told the Knicks front office, it's either him or me. If you want me to stay here in New York, you got to get rid of Mike D'Antoni. If you don't get rid of Mike D'Antoni, I want out. D'Antoni, I guess to his credit, made matters easy for the Knicks. He just went and quit, he said. So that was that. So that ultimatum 6 years ago has got to be something that if they have not talked about it since, I know it's been 6 years, but that would be the elephant in the room, right? If Carmelo Anthony ends up agreeing to sign the Houston Rockets and reunite with Mike D'Antoni when their last interaction with one another was Carmelo going behind his back to try and get him fired and he eventually quit, I feel like that's a part of this story not enough people are talking about. Melo couldn't make it out of Heat training camp, a texter writes. I wonder if any part of Carmelo says, you know what? let me get into the best shape of my life. Let me take this challenge of getting into the Pat Riley regimen. Who's on line four, Chang?
Mikey.
Let's talk to Mikey. You're on QAM. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, what's up, Donna? What's going on?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Good, good, good. Talking about this Melo situation, I hear where you're coming from. I've heard that perspective. You know, the Heat are kind of a middling team, and really they're not a championship-level team. But for the Heat, I think they need that those young bucks to get better. So at this point, it's not like Melo is the old Melo. You know what I mean? He's a washed version of himself, and he was atrocious. I watched Melo.
He was bad last year, and he ran out of gas in the playoffs.
And even on this team, occasionally – he can. No, there's no doubt he can probably go for 25 to 30, you know, every now and then because he's a talented scorer. But, I mean, on the other end of the court, he'd be just atrocious. I mean, we already got the head case in Whiteside, who doesn't give him much. And I think probably a quarter through the season, Melo would be in the same doghouse because he doesn't play defense. He doesn't rebound. He doesn't box out. It's just he's a stand-up shooter at this point in time. So I just don't think he would have been a good fit. I know people get kind of, you know, starstruck by the name
right. Because
of what he's accomplished.
And I admit that's a big part of my argument. I really do admit that. But right. To me, I mean, NBA basketball, it's not only a competitive sport. It's also a business. It is also entertainment. And I think entertainment is especially important to this community. And you're right. Well, what you said at the top of the call was, I'm very hung up on the idea that I don't believe you have pieces to a championship nucleus already on this team. It's why I don't think they have a lot to lose by adding Carmelo, where certain young teams, Philadelphia, Boston come to mind, would have a ton to lose by adding Carmelo.
Correct. Yeah, I understand from your perspective. But to me, I think getting Ellington back was a lot more critical. I know he's not a sexy name or has a star power, but for what he accomplished last year, he was one of the best deep three-point shooters in the league, and I thought that was critical bringing him back. I think Wade, more than likely, I would say he's probably going to come back this year.
Right.
I mean, he's posting all these videos of him working out. I would be stunned if he decides to hang out. It doesn't look like he wants to as of yet, and I hope he does because they still need his veteran leadership. But last point, I got to give it to Riley, though, waiting it out and seeing that Ellington was going to deal. But last thing, I was hoping today, you know, I would have much rather have Isaiah Thomas because Isaiah Thomas, say what you want about him, the dude is all heart, grit. 5'9" coming off, you know, he's losing the tragedy of sister, and
right. He
would have been perfect to come off that Heat bench.
He just signed for nothing. This guy goes from, you know, a little over a year ago trying to get max money to now signing for the minimum.
$2 million, man, for a guy who can give you 15 to 20, he's going to give you energy, and obviously he's a kind of a defensive light, but he's going to play his ass off, unlike Melo, who's just going to wait to get the ball another, and it's kind of unfortunate. Denver, that's going to be a great pick. They're going to be fun to watch, but we'll see, man. I mean, it's a transition period for the Heat, but, you know, we'll see what happens with Waiters if he can stay healthy, because unfortunately that guy can never stay healthy.
I know.
That's going to be pretty important, but these young bucks got to prove themselves. Jay Rich, you mentioned them already by name, Bam and Winston. They really got to show what they can do in this league, or otherwise, you know, Riley, with the mode he's in, he's going to ship him out of town and try to build up a star, because I think the next upcoming summer is when they're going to try to wheel and deal and make some moves. So if these guys don't show what they have this upcoming season, don't be surprised if they're going to be dealt somewhere else. So it's going to be interesting, though, man. So Heat fans just need to hang in there, man. I just hope they're not in that mode of the Dolphins and Marlins where they're just stuck in neutral. So, you know, Harrison and Riley and Spo are not going to settle for that. So we'll see how it goes. Thanks for the time, though.
Well, of course, man. Great call. Thank you. What were you just waving at me, Manny? Like a picture of somebody signing a contract? What was
that? Yeah, Dwayne Ellington. It's confirmed.
What'd you call him? You just dropped a Dwayne Ellington on me. Are Dwayne Wade and Wayne Ellington now a basketball power couple?
Sorry, I actually saw a picture with Wade and him together, so I got the names mixed up.
if they both signed tonight, that'd be awesome. I just look over and I see Chang. He's got this smile on his face as if Peru just won the World Cup. He's got this grin on his face and he's flashing at me a picture of a dude signing a contract. I'm like, what is that over there?
Alex, listen, speaking about Heat, was it okay that once I finally saw a Heat breaking news free agency, I jumped up in the air and said, thank you, God, we're still, you know, alive in a sense?
I was reading a text. I ignored the last 15 nice. Seconds of Never what mind. You said. I'm sorry. The text looked important.
Weren't you so excited that you finally got some Heat news last night?
I was. Yeah, I really was. I really was. And it was funny because before this was around, I don't know, 9:20, 9:30 p.m. when the Wayne Ellington news came out. And Tito was working with me last night. He had just given me breaking news, and he played the breaking news like little music bed about Applebee's now offering all-you-can-eat riblets or chicken tenders. And then right after that, he plays the breaking news soundbite again. And I said, oh, don't tell me Chili's is now doing the same thing. But then he came in with the Wayne Ellington news. So that was something legit. Texter writes in, you gain jack squat with Melo. At his best, Melo was an overhyped average player. Now, complete garbage. I'm not sure what you jokers that want him are looking at.
Alex, I'm sorry. Are we supposed to win the East this year?
We're fighting for a 5 seed, bro.
We're fighting for a 5 seed. We're fighting
for a 5 seed.
Complaining, why should we get Melo on the team?
6 seed last year, and now that Cleveland is going to be garbage because they're going down the toilet where they belong because LeBron left. We're fighting for the 5. We had the 6 last year. Now Cleveland drops out of the playoffs. We're fighting for the 5 seed. Bring me Melo. We'll talk with Mike Cugno from CBS Miami next. Grips on your ways, front way, back way. I think it's crazy how virtually everybody who works in this building, Heat fans, most of us, are all in favor of bringing Melo to Miami, which I don't think is going to happen. Like Shams Charania from Yahoo reported that Houston is a front runner. But virtually everyone in this building is in favor of Melo. And I would say 95% of my audience, those that I've heard from on tweet and text, are dead set against it. You think I'm crazy for wanting Melo? Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Mike Cugno from CBS Miami, CBS 4, joins us. And, you know, Mike, I do want to get into some of this MLS stadium stuff and South Florida politics. But for me, my logic on Carmelo is I don't believe the Heat have future all-stars on this team. They've got some decent young players, but I don't think it's a tragedy if you take a few minutes away from some of these guys. There's not a whole lot of excitement on this team. It's not a contending team. I don't really see anything to lose by bringing in Carmelo Anthony. If nothing else, it gives a little more of a spotlight on this team, puts a few more asses in the seats. I think it's a win-win, but my audience is dead set against it. Where do you fall on this?
I'm going to agree with your audience, and I'm not and I'm not pandering to them.
Okay.
I agree. What are you going to get them for a year? And yeah, the team may not be that exciting, but you're going to get him and then what? You know, it's not like he's a superstar with a ton of years left in the tank. I mean, you've got guys who are trying to emerge here. Justice Winslow, for all the grief Justice Winslow has gotten over the years, you saw him kind of erupt in the playoffs there a little bit. Maybe erupt is too strong of a word, but you finally started seeing what you were hoping to see from Justin.
I did like when he stepped on the mask of Joel Embiid. I thought that was kind of cool.
Right. And you know, he put in a lot of good minutes there, and I think that's part of his development. And I think a guy like Melo takes away from that. Sure, he's obviously going to be an offensive weapon and a scoring threat, so I'm not saying there's no pros to it, but to me, unless you can move some of those contracts in dealing with OKC, but it looks like they're going to just flat out release him and you just got to pay him money. So I don't think you can move any of those heavy contracts like a Tyler Johnson or something to get him. If that was the case, I would say yes. Obviously, it makes sense, but
we can no longer be friends. You realize this?
Yeah, you know what? You know what? Friends call each other, Dono. When was the last time you called me, buddy? Come on.
Oh, my bad. I do want to give you some props, though, for the 40-yard dash where you just wiped the floor with our buddy Dave Dwork. I mean, Mike, that was not even a competition. You smoked him.
I told him beforehand. I said, this isn't going to end well. And he didn't believe me. And now you have what you have. And now you got Danny Rabinowitz, Hollywood, on Joe's show calling me out. So, you know, I think we're probably going to end up seeing more of these 40s happening between media members. Look, it's the dog days of summer for us, too. So we need to fill our time with some of these 40-yard dashes.
You know, speaking of the dog days of summer, we had like kind of a rare, entertaining, unusual event happening yesterday at Miami City Hall. You know, Mike, it was too hard for me with my work schedule and some stuff at home. I had planned on maybe stopping by that commission hearing. I didn't realize that by stopping by, I would have been there for 7.5 hours or however long it took. Now, Mike, I am just the idea of it, right? Admitting that, like any South Floridian, I don't know a lot of the details of this proposal because nobody does. And that's one of the sticking points here. But on the surface, I am pro MLS Stadium to Mel Reese. I think it looks beautiful, yeah. The concept art of it. I love soccer, so I want to see the team have a great, beautiful home and flourish in that home. But is it fair for me to say that I think that what happened yesterday, for the most part, was constructive, and it was constructive that they put the vote off until Wednesday, because there is a lot about this proposal that South Floridians do not have details on from Moss and Beckham.
Yeah, right. I mean, and not only constructive, but it's responsible. Like, we have to, as citizens, let everyone know what this deal would entail, because everyone's still a little shell-shocked from what happened with the Marlins. So, I was listening to most of the hearings and stuff yesterday, like a lot of citizens coming forward and talking about it. And I think sometimes you do, someone mentioned it, sometimes you have to protect the voters from themselves, because, look, Beckham is a sexy name. Pro sports is a sexy vote. But is it the right thing for your city? So you do have to get all those numbers, figures, and facts in order before you let the citizens vote on it. We're actually going to have Ken Russell in studio. In our 7 o'clock news, he was, of course, the commissioner who basically hung it up yesterday and basically moved it to Wednesday's vote, giving everyone a little bit more time to get all the details in order.
Should there be any reason to think, and I know that Moss and Beckham have said otherwise, but if this site is shot down and they continue to have problems finding a viable site for the stadium, is there still a chance that MLS soccer in Miami will not happen?
Well, you know, we had that big party where they said MLS, you know, is coming to Miami. I don't know. I think from talking to Moss the other day, they said the Overtown site is their plan B. It's clear that they're not sold on it. It's probably not the greatest location, because I'm not sure how much you could do around it. It would seem like you would basically plop a stadium right in the middle of Overtown. I'm not sure how much parking you could put. I'm not sure if it makes sense, and I don't think it makes sense for them either. So that's why they really wanted this. And I think last night you saw Mayor Francis Suarez, who was really pushing for the vote to happen last night, because I think they're worried that if it didn't happen last night, what's going to happen a week from now? There's a lot less they can control when the vote is pushed back a little bit. Because what the Moss group probably had on their side was the timing and momentum. It was last week they made the announcement, hey, you know, on Thursday, we're gonna have this vote, and it didn't really give a lot of time for people to prepare. And I think you saw that last night. It felt like all the numbers weren't there. And people were saying, well, the lease isn't really worth $3.5 million. It's worth a lot more. So is the city, going to actually lose money on this? So I think last night they may seem a little bit worried not having that vote go through. I think they're really hoping it would.
Yeah, something that was apparent from last night's hearing was a huge outpour of support for that Mel Reese golf course. All the orange T-shirts, I've heard from a lot of supporters of that course on social media and via phone calls to my show on this station. Now, Mike, I am not an avid golfer, and so to me, I see golf courses every 10 feet in South Florida. What is it about this Mel Reese course, this public course, that is so special to people who are just so devoted to that area?
Well, I think it's just that first tee program, what it does for kids. You know, it's a great program. You see special needs kids there as well. You know, kids getting scholarships through golf from the first tee program. I think that's really the hook there, and those are a lot of the supporters you saw coming forward. But With that being said, in all fairness, you know, to Jorge Mas, he did say that was they were going to have a plan for not only for it to move somewhere else, but for it to also thrive. And Miami Springs was talked about, you know, which is that golf course, the short drive up the road where they can move it. So, yeah, I think the first tee program obviously is one of those things that's kind of a priority. But it looks like there could be actually a solution there.
Now, before he tried to buy the Marlins, I didn't know a lot about Jorge Mas. I've become familiar with him over the past several months. I've seen him speak several times. You know, I was part of the media scrum with him back in March or February when they had the welcome MLS to Miami thing. So, Mike, my gauge on Jorge Mas is something that clearly differentiates him from Jeffrey Loria is with Jeffrey Loria, I got the sense that the guy could care less whether he's beloved or hated by this community, that sort of thing does not keep him awake at night. He doesn't really consider himself a South Floridian or a steward of the community. Where with Jorge Mas, I think it's very important to that guy to be a fixture in this community and to be beloved by this community. So, and maybe this is me drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit too much on Mas, but I don't think Jorge Mas strikes me as the type of person who would want to pull a fast one on the community, get exposed for that later on, and be hated the way that Jeffrey Loria is hated. I think that his public image among Miamians is too important to him to do wrong by this community.
No, I think he cares about that very much. I mean, look, he lives in this community. His kids go to school in this community. He's from here. He is a Miami guy. So I think there's no doubt he wants to have something great for this city. And I think yesterday it really had less to do about him, you know, or him being the next Jeffrey Loria. It had to do more with Jeffrey Loria and the Marlins.
Right.
He kept hearing it over and over again. We don't want that same Marlins deal that now looks so bad so many years later. So, yeah, I completely agree. I think he really wants this to be successful. I think they actually have a really good ownership group on the surface. But obviously, they, you know, you can't cut corners with this stuff. And now that the city has an extra week to vet their plans, we're going to find out, you know, if this is, in the end, a good deal for the city. But here's the thing. Here's the other side. Jorge Mas is a businessman, and all these guys are businessmen. So their job as businessmen is to get the best deal for themselves.
Right.
So, yes, he wants the best deal for himself. But I think at the same time, I agree with you. He's not here to maybe pull a fast one on the city because, after all, he lives here. His kids are here. His family's here. You know, like, this is his community.
Yeah, and it's like something that another reason why I would love more information on how they're going to get back to the community, because I know that a big thing that people are saying to me is, well, I'm very suspicious because not only are they going to build a stadium there, but they're also building retail space, a hotel, restaurant, office park, other ways to make money. And so, but I can't say, Mike, in a black and white way that just because the billionaire investor wants to make money, that doesn't automatically make this a bad deal, because what if the community actually benefits from the retail, the restaurant, the hotel, the green space, and especially the 23 acres of youth soccer fields there, just because he is trying to make money on this on the back end, because a stadium in itself is no guarantee to turn a profit. He is trying to add other things to turn a profit, that doesn't automatically necessarily mean this is him pulling a fast one.
No, look, I agree with you. The thing about Mel Reese and the whole argument there was not enough people use that golf course for it to make money, and we heard how it had been losing money. And that was the whole thing. With this complex, their idea was to have it open all year round. Like, you go to Marlins Park, unless there's a concert happening there in the off season, basically a ghost town. I think there's a cell phone store and a pro shop open underneath it, you know, in the breezeway there. Yeah, like, no, really. Like, I mean, I think they want this to be something that people are actually going to. Now, will that cost money if you're going there? Maybe. Maybe they charge people for parking if you have Little League games there and tournaments there. But at least in their plans and in their ideas, it sounds like they're trying to make it open all year round, where they can make money all year round. Hey, look, if they put a hotel there, I mean, let's be honest. If you're flying into Miami, you know, and you're here on business, you're probably going to end up staying at the closest hotel to the airport.
That's true.
And that would be right there. So I do think you have to give them credit for doing their homework on that end, because that's what happens with a lot of stadiums. And that's what would probably happen to a stadium in Overtown. If they built one in Overtown, it would just be for soccer and maybe high school football games or something in the off season, or, you know, other high school events, but it wouldn't be a complex that's visited all year round.
Last thing here, Mike Cugno from CBS4 joins us. So Mike, on Wednesday, the commission is going to vote on whether or not to put this to a public vote on the ballot in November. Mm-hmm. Do you have a gut feeling? Like, well, what does your gut tell you on Wednesday? Is the commission going to pass this or deny this?
Okay. Gut feeling was, if they had voted yesterday, they may have gotten it. I'm not as confident, because I think it's going to cost more, and that we're going to find out how much more the ownership group is willing to pay. Because obviously, we heard about the whole, you know, toxic land underneath the golf course and having to fill in like the lakes and ponds, and that's all starting to add up. So if they're willing to fork over that money, then they've got a good shot. If not, they may have to look elsewhere. Now, with that being said, I don't think just because if they don't win the vote on Wednesday, that I don't think MLS and Miami would be gone.
Okay.
Or, you know, the idea would be gone. I think they're going to try to make this happen one way or the other.
I appreciate your time, sir. Mike Cugno from CBS4, CBS Miami. Thank you so much, Mike, and enjoy the rest of your night. And I'm going to DVR that newscast tonight where we'll hear from the commissioner who kind of held the swing vote.
Yeah, he should be on in a few minutes here with Rick and Rutabay. And Dono, maybe you and me do the next 40, huh? How about that?
Give me like 2 years to train, bro, and it's on.
Okay, you got it.
Thanks, man. Oh, man. Good guy there. Mike Cugno from CBS Miami. 7 o'clock hour, the Alex Dono Show coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.